The Digital Lifestyle presents Tito Mobile, show number 92 for Thursday, October 27th, 2011. I'm Ozzy
Ortiz. I'm John Dickinson.
I'm Jason Coombs.
And I'm Sheldon Whitney.
I lost you there, Sheldon.
Yeah, no, I'm back now finally after a few technical challenges. I think hopefully I'll stay on. If I disappear, then my Wi-Fi's gone. I'm in London at the moment just on business, so I'm kind of struggling a bit with connectivity. But hopefully I'll make it through the show.
Yeah, well, you guys left Jason and I unsupervised last week, so...
Yeah, we gorged ourselves on ice cream, but we did leave it to last, didn't we?
You didn't even save us a slice.
Well, you know what the Android update program's like, so maybe you'll get it one day.
What, 18 months?
It's funny because Sheldon and I, we stopped recording, unfortunately, so no one will have heard this, but we had a really good debate about updates and whatnot, so we so wish we'd recorded that because it would have been a great tag on for the show, but...
Yeah. Well, along with that, we also discovered that the update that I got during the show last week on my HD7 was, in fact, not Mango. So I am still fruitless on my phone. But to continue the saga, we're going to do this one more time. During the show, I'm going to tether my phone to my PC, launch up Zoom, and see if I can finally get Mango on there. So.
Excellent.
But, well,
fingers crossed, man.
Yeah. Well, no, we have a big show this week. The past 3 weeks have been huge, right? I mean, it all kicked off with the iOS update in iPhone 4S, of course. Then last week, we covered Ice Cream Sandwich along with the Galaxy Nexus. And this week, we have Nokia World, with Nokia announcing the first Nokia Windows phones, apparently announcing the very first Windows phone ever.
The first real Windows phone.
The first real Windows phone ever. But before we get into those goodies, I think we'll have Jace wait on the edge of his seat and get through a few other stories first. Let's go ahead and kick it off with Android. And Galaxy Nexus apparently gets a ship date in the UK. There's an Amazon pre-order page up right now for the Galaxy Nexus, £549, due to be released on November 17th, which is not too far away.
No, only a few weeks. Anyone thinking about picking one of those up? Or
if you guys can pick one up and ship it over to me, that'd be great.
Yeah. Is there's no release date yet in the US, right?
No, nothing in the US. Nothing outside of the UK, actually.
I'm pretty tempted. I mean, it's a pretty steep price, but I'm pretty sure when we got the Nexus One, it wasn't far off of that, to be honest.
I can't remember how much that was, actually. What was the price on that when it came out? It was a while ago, though, wasn't it? So
I'm pretty sure we paid over £500 for it.
Yeah. I paid... I think it was in the US, it was $500. Maybe even close to six. I can actually find it real quick. Let me go through my transactions here.
So you said, Sheldon, you're thinking about picking one up, yeah?
Yeah, I was going to say, if Jose's got to go through his transactions, that could take a while.
His mobile phone order list.
But no, I mean, yeah, no, I think I'm pretty tempted. I mean, it looks a great device, doesn't it? The screen resolution looks amazing, and just that whole kind of ice cream sandwich experience looks like they've really, really kind of got it together. But I don't know. I can't really justify it. You know, I've got four phones at the moment. Although, I don't know. I guess watch this space in about 3 weeks. But it does look pretty nice. I think it's got a lot going for it, isn't it? Although
Come
apparently
on.
Not.
You can get it.
Not Gorilla Glass, is it? Yeah, it's got to be worth it. But yeah, I noticed today it's kind of fortified glass, but not Gorilla Glass, which I don't know whether that makes a big difference, but it's just little things that seem to be
You know, I read that people were making a big deal about it. I don't understand why. Like, what are you doing with your phone that you need Gorilla Strength glass?
I don't even know what it is, but I just want it. It just sounds brilliant.
And that's exactly it. I mean, I think that's the case for a lot of people that they don't, I mean, as far as like a need, I don't think there's a need for it. I mean, if you're a construction worker that's out there and, you know, getting rocks all over it all day long, I can see it. But I mean, if you're an average person that just keeps it in your pocket and uses it, come on. it's not like you're throwing Wii controllers at it.
Not at it.
Yeah, and the Nexus the price I for the Nexus One originally, well, it was for me because I had to pay California tax, which is a little bit higher, but the total was $580.58.
Ah, right. So yeah, so it is up there with around about the same price, huh?
Yeah.
See, I'm interested. I don't know whether I could ever justify $550 for an Android phone, though. I don't know why. Just I was see Android phones as being a little bit cheaper.
What?
I don't know. That's just in my head.
it's that upfront cost, isn't it, as well? You know, I think especially in the UK, we're kind of used to buying phones on contract. And although actually the real cost is probably more, you know, double that even, you know, it's a huge cost, but you just kind of, you don't think about it. You just pay it because you're paying that monthly charge. So, you know, it's kind of difficult to get your mind to say, yeah, I'm gonna
I think one of the things that's probably making me think that more than anything at the moment is the fact that you could pick up a 4S for $500 now, which is cheaper, and iPhones have always been like,
is that unlocked?
Yeah, it's direct from Apple.
Really?
Wow. And
we're getting screwed in the US then, because in the US it's $750.
I think they're
or 700.
$399 for an old 4, and I think the 4S is start at $499, I believe.
Yeah,
those aren't unlocked.
Yes, though. They are. Yeah, direct from Apple.
Oh, over there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I was talking about here. They don't have them unlocked. They only have the 4S unlocked, and it's like $600-$700.
Right. So yeah, I think it's kind of that mindset where you've always seen Apple products, unlocked Apple products, being so much more expensive than everything else, and it's kind of the shift is playing with my mind a little bit.
I think there's kind of a change going on, because I was going to upgrade my phone, because with O2 in the UK you get, or if you're on a business contract you get the opportunity to upgrade after 12 months as long as you sign up to another 2-year deal. You get a midterm upgrade break. But they've stopped doing that now, you can do it once more, and then they're stopping it completely. And if you do the midterm upgrade, it's £150, and it's making me think that I probably will just see out my contract, and then maybe get some kind of almost pay as you go deal, you know, where you top your SIM up and then just buy the handset outright. And I just wonder whether these kind of subsidized contracts are becoming less and less appealing, you know. And I think it's, I don't know. I think there's going to be a bit of a shift over the next 12 months when you can get some pretty good deals on SIM only, and then just kind of pick up the handset as and when you want to change it. But it does take that kind of mind shift, doesn't it? To pay upfront £500 to get the handset.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that was a big problem here in the US, especially with, you know, the iPhone being so popular and doing annual refreshes, where AT&T encountered that issue. Customers were really pissed off because they were going to have to buy the upgrade outright versus paying the subsidized price. And, you know, people couldn't wrap their minds around that because, yeah, same thing in the U.S. Heavily. In fact, it's very difficult to purchase an unlocked device, a SIM-free device, off contract. Because they want to lock you into those contracts. But, yeah, it would require a huge mind shift to you as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly the devices cost so much when you do buy them up front. But I think it's if you can do that, you definitely save some money in the long term. I think the only problem, Sheldon, maybe with going to the pay-as-you-go ones is you don't necessarily get any data or very little data included with those. But what you can do, which I've done the past when I was off contract, is you can negotiate pretty big discounts if you threaten to leave them. I think at one point, before I got my Omnia 7, I was down to about £10-15 a month.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, here's one that, you know, I mentioned this one before about the new GIF gaff that you can get in the UK, which it runs on the O2 network, but you can get, I mean, I got one for, just a bong, stick in an old, my old HD2 just as a business, deal at the moment. But for £10 a month on, it's on pay as you go. So, you know, it's a kind of rolling thing. You just have to top up every month, but £10 a month you get, I think it was 250 minutes, unlimited text and truly unlimited data for £10.
Wow.
And if you think that's £10 a month, and in order to get any kind of a decent price on an iPhone on a carrier, you need to be, you're talking £40 a month tariff for, and locked in for at least 18 months. So it actually works out cheaper to buy the phone outright direct from Apple and just go on one of these tariffs.
Yeah, I think, like Jose says, that it does take quite a mind shift, because, you know, paying out that £500 in one go really hurts, as opposed to, you know, paying out, say, £25 a month, you don't really necessarily appreciate that you're still paying the same amount for the phone. So it's definitely worthwhile doing. And I think there's quite a lot of backlash against the 2-year contracts. I've seen quite a few tweets from people with the kind of with the second generation Windows phones coming out saying, I'm really feeling the pain of being halfway through my contract now, because I really want to update my device. And I think people are getting to that point now where they are going to start refusing the 18-month, 24-month contract, because, like you say, the iPhone's refreshed practically every 12 months. You know, Windows Phone, if it takes off, is going to be refreshed probably every 12 months. I think people are really rebelling against it. I know I'm really feeling the pain, because I really want to change my device to give something else a go, but you're kind of stuck.
Yeah. You wonder if there's an opportunity for people to kind of, you know, set up kind of lease agreements or something, but I don't know. I mean, I think another thing that I saw today, actually, and I don't know if we've got a link to it. I'll try and find one for the show notes, but I saw that there was some research done around shared data plans. And this is something that I've been really looking out for a while now. You know, if you've got more than one device, and obviously more and more people are having a tablet, a phone, maybe even a couple of phones, you know, this option to share data across all those devices, or even across family members, on a single shared plan, it seems like, you know, that's really ramping up now, and the carriers are kind of cottoning onto this fact that you'll buy a single plan and it will cover all your devices. And I wonder again whether that's going to come into play in terms of the subsidies as well, whether maybe people will shift towards just buying the devices outright and then getting a sort of shared data plan, because in the long run it's going to be a better option.
Yeah, I think one thing that's worth considering if you're willing to put in a bit of effort is that smartphones are pretty much holding their values quite well. Like, I think Ian paid a fair whack to get his HD7. So I think if you can get a phone on contract and then use that to fund your next one, buying it outright, and then, like I say, negotiate a discount as an out of locked in contract period, then I think that might be, you know, that's what I might look to do with my Omnia 7 is, you know, sell it on, use that to fund the next device, you know, maybe get 30-40% of the next device, and then kind of do it that way. But they are expensive devices.
Yeah, I mean, I'm amazed by some of these deals that you can get from these up and coming providers, such as, you know, going back to GIFGAF again, because they're just starting to push out data only sims now as well, where you can get sort of unlimited data plan for about £5 a month or something like that, I think it is. So it's like, it's amazing value, really.
Yeah.
I'm not getting paid for about them, honestly.
Yeah, sponsored by GIFGAF.
Yeah, I wish it was, but, you know.
So, well, that conversation kind of veered off, but
how long we got tonight? Yeah, we might be here a while.
I thought you said we were unsupervised last week, Jose, but these two are just...
I know, right? you know, but it's interesting that you mentioned, John, that you see Android as kind of like a cheaper alternative, and, you know, when mentioned the Nexus One. Well, the Nexus One is not going to be getting Ice Cream Sandwich, apparently. You know, Nexus One was the first kind of hero device that Google put out there. That was, they built it with HTC.
No ice cream sandwich. So it looks like it's hit the end of its update cycle. And I mean, 22 months isn't too bad. If you think about it, most people do a 24-month contract. So it's right there with it. But, you know, pretty disappointing, pretty sad to see that the Nexus One kind of has hit the end of its lifeline, officially at least.
I don't have a Nexus One, but I kind of felt a bit disappointed about that myself as well. You know, it kind of feels a bit like I remember all the hype about the Nexus One coming out, and I very nearly picked one up back then as well. It just seems a shame for it to be coming to an end.
Yeah, I'm using my Nexus One right now. It's the only device that I've managed to get connection on. You know, and it's just kind of one of those devices that I always go back to. I mean, I nearly sold it, and I think Jose, I think it was a tweet from you or something saying don't sell it, and I'm really glad I've held on to it. You know, it's just a great device. It is a shame that it's not going to be supported. I don't know if that's just kind of down to the requirements of Ice Cream Sandwich, or that they just, you know, can't put the effort into to kind of get it running because they've got too much else to kind of worry about. But yeah, it's pretty sad, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm sure, you know, it'll only be a matter of time. You know, you'll be able to go out to XDA developers and get all sorts of Ice Cream Sandwich ROMs from the Nexus One. So it'll be fun to play around with it. But, you know, there's always something nice about having a nice, stable, official release.
Yeah.
And, you know, official device. So, you know, but the Nexus One was great. It kicked off this whole Nexus line, which has been great for Android. And, you know, I still have my – I think I have – three different versions of the Nexus One lying around somewhere, but you know, I'm glad I have mine. Glad I kept it, like you, Sheldon. And you know, now that it's at the official end of its lifeline, can't wait to actually put some cooked ROMs on there and play around with it.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
So some other Android news, more of a kind of a little sneak, a little leak. Somebody was able to get a screenshot of Google Music on an Android device, where it actually showed an option for purchasing from the Google Music Store. So the first option was upload your personal music collection, which is what Google Music is now. And then the second one reads shop millions of songs in the Android market. And apparently it had URLs pointing people to I think it was market.android.com/music. Yeah, market.android.com/music. They were all dead links, and you couldn't actually shop or purchase anything. But, you know, if these screenshots are legitimate, then, you know, the Android Music Store seems to be just around the corner.
Ah, interesting. It's pretty cool that Google have moved into this kind of market, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think they always wanted to. It's just, you know, that they probably weren't able to reach agreements with, you know, the music companies and the publishers the way that Google wanted to do it. And there's one thing about Google is that if it's, you know, if they can't do it their way, then, you know, they're going to figure out some way to get around it. But with iTunes being as popular as it is and really having that stronghold on digital distribution, especially with that model that they have, it's difficult for any other company to really go in there and try to change that model. So we'll see what comes out of that.
Yeah.
And then finally, really Android related, because that's what Sony's focus is going to be going forward. But Sony Ericsson is no more. Sony has bought out Ericsson Mobile's 50% stake in the joint venture. And so going forward, all Sony smartphones are really truly going to be Sony, no longer Sony Ericsson branded. And from what it looks like, Sony's going to focus on strictly smartphones. So all those, you know, the Walkman line, the Cybershot line, that feature phones that hadn't been coming out from Sony Ericsson, looks like that's the end of the road for those. And we'll be seeing, you know, some more Xperia devices coming out. Hopefully with Sony taking full control of it, they'll be able to integrate more of their design elements, more of their, strong materials. And we'll see improved products, hopefully.
Yeah, that should be pretty cool, because obviously, like, you know, Sony are really good at the design aspect of devices, whether that be phones, TVs, laptops, whatever, you know, they're good at it. So, and the experience, you know, there's a lot of nice Xperia out there, isn't there?
Yep. Right now I'm using Xperia Arc. I had an Xperia X. Well, I think I have pretty much everything prior to this generation Xperia, because I have the X1, the X2, the X10 Mini, the Mini Pro. I have a bunch of Xperias. They're all pretty cool devices. The X1 and the X2 are still stand out for me, though, because they used aluminum and stainless steel as the body, not plastic. And the Xperia Arc, in initial press shots before it was actually launched and released, it looked like it was going back to those type of materials, but unfortunately it's still hard plastic. So waiting to find another, not only design-wise, but build quality-wise, I want to see some solid materials come out of that, and we'll see if it was Ericsson that was holding them back.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is a pretty big deal when I think about it. I mean, I think it just shows how much the kind of smartphone world has shifted, because I guess when the Sony Ericsson deal was set up, you know, Ericsson were possibly the bigger partner, you know, from a mobile phone point of view. And now
Ericsson was up there with Nokia.
Yeah, exactly. And now you look at it and you think, I'm kind of really excited to see Sony, you know, have that complete control, because you wonder over the past couple of years, really, what Ericsson have really brought to the phones, you know, certainly sort of the smartphone side of things. I'm sure there's stuff, you know, sort of technical stuff under the covers, but it's going to be really exciting to see Sony calling all the shots and exactly, you know, how they're going to sort of take things forward. And you know, they're obviously the dominant partner now, and it's just really interesting to see how things have changed over the course of that kind of partnership to get to this point. But I think it's a big deal, and I think it's going to be pretty interesting to see how they kind of move forwards with it.
Yeah, and I think the tablets that they introduced this year are probably pretty good indicators of where they're going to take the phone line. They're going to be able to closely integrate those products. You know, I have the Tablet S. It definitely has a unique design. I wish it had the materials. I wish, you know, were different materials. Again, I'm more of a fan of stainless steel, metal, aluminum, those type of materials versus the hard, you know, candy coated plastic. But design wise, the Tablet S is definitely unique in terms of design. It has some unique elements in there. The Tablet P, which is that clamshell, that 5-inch fold-in clamshell, obviously very unique. It reminds me of the Kyocera Echo, but yeah, you know, I think it's, they're very indicative of where Sony could take the smartphone line, the Xperia line, with Ericsson no longer being part of the equation.
Yeah, have you picked up one of those tablets, Jose? Or
yeah,
did I make that up?
No, I got the Tablet S. I got it last week.
All right. Are you pleased with it? Is it pretty cool?
So far, so good. Again, the material that they used is kind of plasticky, but very cool design, very nice texture on the back. And, you know, I like the apps. I definitely like the integration with their own products in terms of the DLNA app, that support that they have, although it has a couple of issues I've encountered. Definitely like the remote. It has an IR transmitter there, so able to use it as a remote for anything with an IR sensor, really. So yeah, it's nice size, great screen. So liking it so far. Battery life is a little iffy, but so far so good.
That's good. Yeah, I'm pretty tempted with the Xperia Arc. I think you've had a good experience with it, and I think that's kind of right up there at the moment, isn't it, as a kind of hero phone for the Android kind of side of things.
Yeah, can't wait to see Ice Cream Sandwich on it, which they have committed to upgrading the entire Xperia line to Ice Cream Sandwich, so excited about that.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
All right, now on to some iOS news. Who said that you're pretty having a laugh at this?
That might have been
me. No.
Why don't you go ahead and take this one, Jace?
Oh, you want me to take it? Okay. Obviously with the big iOS 5 release, and it, as we were talking about last week, BT reported that was the biggest spike in internet traffic ever, so that obviously explains John's problems. But this week's news story broke about the Siri feature by default being turned on to work from the lock screen, which basically meant if you left your iPad or your iPhone locked sitting on a desk, somebody could actually pick it up, activate Siri, send a text message, send an email, make a phone call, all without having to enter your PIN code. Now, I would like to point out that Windows Phone can also be set to do that, but it is off by default. I think really the story here is really that Apple decided to leave that turned on by default. So I think it's a few people out by surprise.
Yeah, I can imagine that being a bit compromising.
Yeah, no, I thought Siri was off by default, but I don't know. I wasn't able to confirm it, but I'd heard that it was actually you had to go in to the settings and enable it. Is that not right?
Well, I think Siri's off by default, but I think from what seems to be being said is that when you turn Siri on by default, it will work under the lock screen.
Oh, I see. Right, I gotcha.
With something that was, let's face it, a security feature, you'd expect that to be off by default, as say it is with Windows Phone. But so, Windows Phone, you can do the same thing, but you actually have to go in and activate it.
Right, gotcha.
Just like with Windows Phone, you can actually set Bing to work on top of the lock screen. So, but you have to, it's something you need to go and turn on.
Right. So you're actually making a conscious decision to do that and to get that functionality. You kind of accept the security risks, whereas with this, it sounds like people would kind of put themselves at risk and not even realising it.
Yeah, and I think also I thought I saw a story about someone had some security researcher had found a way to unlock an iPad, but I can't remember. I might have made that up.
Yeah, because I wouldn't use Siri, would it? Obviously, Siri's only on the 4S, but yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So whether or not they'll change that setting in a future iOS update, because, as we've talked about before, whenever these problems or bugs in iOS turn up, you can pretty much guarantee that pretty quick there'll be a point release and that'll go out to everyone and cause another massive internet spike. Although now they should be able to do that as an
Yeah, it should be OTA now.
Over the air, Jose. So there you go, the first over-the-air security fix for iOS.
There we go. All right. Now, well, Jace, tell you what, I'm going to turn over the show to you at this point. Let's go ahead and get into Nokia World.
Yeah, short show this week then. Yeah, so just first of all, as Jose mentioned just a moment ago, we kind of talked about live on the show as Jose updated his phone, but it turned out he'd actually only got the 0.7392 update, which is was the security certificates that were issued and therefore revoked, and didn't actually have Mango at all. I think his fruit's gone slightly stale by this point. But Microsoft did post an update today, which excites me because Dutch Telecom are now scheduling the updates for some reason. T-Mobile UK, despite having been sold off to Orange UK, is still dictated to by Dutch Telecom. So, but also they said that the updates are now available to absolutely everybody as long as, that your device isn't still in the testing or scheduling phase. So in theory, Jose, if you get out your cable and tether your phone, hate to do it, you should.
Well, I plugged it in right now, and it says I have an update available, version 7.0.7403. Is that Mango?
That's the first step towards Mango.
First step. How many steps? So what was the update I got last week?
That was step zero?
That was the pre-step.
Yeah, I think Mango comes down in two or three updates. So.
Yeah, you'll be set by 2012. You'll be fully up to speed.
Sheldon Whitney, you're supposed to be on my side. Shut up.
No, it is worth it though, Jose. I would definitely say that. It does transform, for me anyway, it transformed the experience. I think for most people it does, doesn't it? So,
well, going through the update now, hopefully by the end of the show, I actually have mango and not, you know, a mango tree.
The next real bit of news, which is going to be the majority of the show, is a small little event called Nokia World.
It's awesome!
It's awesome! Yeah, exactly. I'll talk about that in a bit. I think the first thing I have to say is a bit disappointing for me in that, you know, UK holds, you know, a prominent event like this with Nokia unveiling to the world their Windows phones, and everybody was complaining how poor the Wi-Fi signal was. It just shows how, you know, we talk about the UK and its mobile network and data and, you know, broadband network. And, it's a real shame to read people that have flown over from the States and, you know, just getting a really poor experience. I don't know what you guys thought about that initially.
Yeah, doesn't everyone have these problems at these kind of events? So, because you've got about, like, because you've got thousands of, like, geeks stuck in a room trying to use a data plan at the same time.
Yeah, we get shitty Wi-Fi over here, too, so don't feel bad.
Yeah. No, I just thought, because at the Build conference, I didn't see anybody complaining about the Wi-Fi, but maybe it was just me. So back in February, Nokia unveiled that they were going to be adopting Windows Phone as their exclusive mobile platform, but also at the same time said they were still going to be looking to launch Symbian-based devices, so a bit of a contradiction. So Nokia World opened with Stephen Ilott taking the stage. And then, just completely bizarrely, spent 45 minutes talking about Symbian.
No, but this was the bulk of the keynote as well, wasn't it? It was like...
Well, the keynote was 90 minutes, and I just watched the video again back tonight, and it was a good 40 minutes talking about Symbian.
That's crazy, isn't it?
And I even saw on the ZDNet live blogs, somebody had said, you know, the audience is starting to get a bit unrestful. He had Bianca on stage, you know, using kind of made up people to sell these devices into particular lifestyles.
But it was terrible. I mean, I was talking to Ian on Twitter about this when it was going on, and I couldn't get I couldn't get access to the video, so I was just kind of like catching little bits and bobs of what people were saying. And it was just saying it was just cringeworthy. It was just like the whole like characters that they set up for these things. It's just there's no need for it.
No, exactly. I mean, the big tagline was that this is the next billion devices that they plan to sell, and I know they did say they still plan to ship a number of Symbian devices into kind of emerging markets, and they announced four devices, all are built around the Asha brand name, which apparently means hope. There was the Asha 200, 201, 300, and 303. I don't think there's any point in going into any real detail about those, but one of the interesting features was that they kind of support internet acceleration, in that when you use a web browser on the phones, they'll actually pull websites down through Nokia servers kind of thing, as a way to, in a compressed format, to try and reduce the amount of bandwidth, because I would imagine in emerging worlds, emerging countries, you either get pretty low data usage per month or it costs quite a bit, so... I don't know if anybody wants to say anything about Symbian. Rest in peace.
Well, I guess it is. I guess it just shows that it is still pretty important to their overall strategy as a company, in terms of they see the growth in these emerging markets, and they see that as pretty central to what they're trying to achieve. I mean, I don't think it's certainly not of real relevance to me, and I don't think it is to of us, you know, where we are. But I guess to Nokia, it's pretty important, and you know, I guess that's kind of what they're driving home, but yeah, it doesn't really hold much relevance for me, I don't think.
They spent some time, like, obviously developing it as well, haven't they? Because it looks a bit more modern. They've integrated things like Twitter and Facebook into it by the looks of it as well. And like these devices, a lot of them were kind of touch and keyboard as well, weren't they? So. They had both options.
Yeah, I mean, they had capacitive screens, and which I guess is pretty new to the kind of low end cheap device. I mean, I think one of the devices was like €30, so you know, you're talking pretty cheap. But yeah, each one kind of had, like you say, a lot of social features built into it. Some of them were built around, you know, really good music with speakers, followed by a rather embarrassing dance by Bianca on stage. Just, yeah, so.
So what are they doing with Symbian? I mean, because I thought Symbian, that was it. There was kind of, you know, it is being phased out, but have I got that wrong?
I mean, they outsourced it to a different department outside of Nokia, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, they always did say, even in all the interviews following the Windows Phone announcement, that they were still planning on shifting a high volume of Symbian devices. I think purely because at the moment there isn't really a smartphone device that's aimed at, you know, emerging markets. I mean, I really can't imagine an iPhone or an Android phone or a Windows phone going for €30.
No.
I wish it would.
Yeah, exactly. So I did wonder actually whether or not they did split it 50-50 in a kind of way of saying, look, we're saying that Symbian is still just as important to us as Windows Phone. I wondered if it was a conscious decision to split it 50-50, but it was really odd. From what I saw on the social media platforms, it was people were expecting to be there to see the big unveiling of Windows Phone, and you know, it was really odd to see these devices which aren't aimed at the audience that was there. But I guess it is Nokia World, so I guess it is also, you know, trying to show what they plan to do globally, not just in particular markets.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, the devices did look quite good, but it's obviously not what not what I was interested in, not what the audience was interested in.
So. I didn't expect them to announce twice as many Symbian phones as they did Windows Phone phones.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. I think it was a bit, it kind of gave a really bad balance, I thought. If Nokia really are banking their future on Windows Phone, it did seem rather bizarre. But so I don't know if anyone's got anything to add to that.
No.
Jose's asleep.
Yeah. I'm watching my status bar go very slowly here.
So
now I'm getting 7.10.7720.
Hey, Mango. We're on the way. Stephen came back on stage and then really started talking about Windows Phone kind of started to announce, you know, what they were coming, showed off the previously known under the code name of C-Ray, which everyone knew kind of was coming. I think in some ways that it was so much stuff had leaked out, you know, which you don't get with Apple keynotes, that it was kind of a bit of an anti-climax. But yeah, so he showed off the what they're calling the C-Ray device, which is now known as the Nokia Lumia 800. And then he welcomed Kevin Shields, who we were talking about before we started recording it, I think has the longest title. It's like Senior Vice President of Program and Product Management for the Smart Device. But I actually got to watch him come up on stage, and it was just embarrassing. The guy, Stephen, built him up saying, you know, about how, you know, Nokia's future was riding on Windows Phone, and the whole, you know, product development life, you know, future devices and the current devices rest on this Kevin's shoulders. And Kevin turned to Stephen and said, see, he said, the thing with Windows Phone is it's so amazing, even I can't screw up. And it's like, well, are you just so bad at everything? Otherwise, everything else you've ever done gone completely wrong. It was just really bad. And then he kind of addressed the audience and he shouted at the top of his voice. I mean, it made my speakers, you know, vibrate. It was so loud, like, this device is awesome. And it was like, are you telling us or are you trying to convince us that it's awesome? Because the audience just remained pretty quiet, I think.
Yeah, didn't at one point in his speech he had to ask people to applaud him?
Yeah, I was just going to mention that. Yeah, he actually said, come on, guys, that deserves an applause. I was like, no, if you have to ask for it. It clearly didn't. I really wish I wasn't sitting here having this conversation with you guys, but it was just embarrassing.
I might go and watch it now. I didn't watch it. It sounds quite entertaining, though, so I might go back and watch it.
It's just cringeworthy. But anyway, when he got into his flow, he started really talking about Windows Phone, and it was
for me, I kind of found it interesting because they were clearly selling it as if people were seeing Windows Phone for the first time. They were really going into, you know, obviously there was a prerequisite digs at iOS and Android about their app-centric approach, how Windows Phone is different. It takes a kind of an experience, a people first approach, to use their tagline. And he was really showing off the social integration about how he could, you know, pin people to the live home screen and see immediately that they'd posted updates or tagged photos. Clicking through to those took you straight through to their social feed, and how you could put people in groups. And they were just really going through the real major selling points of Windows Phone, which I thought was, you know, quite interesting that they, like I say, they were taking an approach that as if people had never seen Windows Phone before.
Yeah. If it was, like you put it, interesting, but I don't know if it was the right approach, really, because there was a lot of people complaining about it, saying, you know, you kind of just going over, spending a lot of time going over things that people have had for the last 12 months. And I mean, it's good, because they're saying, you know, this is new to us, this is new to Nokia. but I think the main problem that I had with the whole situation, the whole conference there, was the fact that they were pushing it as though Nokia is bringing this amazing thing to you. And it's like, well, not really, because people have been doing it for the last sort of 12 months or so. So,
yeah.
It's like I said before, you know, you can't come late to the party and then claim it's yours, you know? It's like.
Yeah. I think the phrase they used was, it's the first real Windows Phone. And it just was, we'll come on to the device in a bit, but I mean, I quite like the Lumia 800. I think it looks really smart, but so basically they announced two devices, both running Windows Phone 7.5. I was kind of disappointed that it was only two, but there's one kind of lower end device, which was the Nokia Lumia 710, which is kind of a white front with a blue back. It's a 3.7 inch capacitive LCD screen. It has hardware buttons instead of the capacitive buttons, which many people actually prefer on Windows Phone, because so many people complain about catching the capacitive buttons when you're trying to use a device or hand the device to someone else. So it's got 1.4 gigahertz processor, 8 gigabyte storage. It doesn't have the new gyroscope, which is an optional extra as part of the Gen 2 devices, and costs €270. So it's a pretty low end device, and I think in some ways it kind of looks it.
Yeah, it's ugly. it's not that great.
It's a pretty interesting approach, though, isn't it? I mean, I think they've got it right in that device, because I think that is kind of, you know, like the wildfire, you know, opened up Android a little bit. I wonder whether this device might open up Windows Phone to a big section of the market that otherwise wouldn't have looked at it.
I mean, obviously, it there has to be a low end option. Very few. Well, I mean, if you look at a luxury device, then a luxury company. That's the only place where you're going to see a manufacturer only stick to high end hardware. And it could be just branding and a luxury item more so than features. I'm thinking of, why am I blanking out on their name? you guys know who I'm talking about. Come on.
HTC?
No, not HTC. Their phones are like $5,000 a piece.
Yeah, I know.
Nokia affiliated.
Yeah, I do know who you mean, and I can't think of it either.
How can I not know this right now? I went to their store in Vegas. Virtu.
Yeah.
Yes. Like Virtu, yes, it's going to be all, you know, expensive devices, but if you look at the penetration market, obviously you're going to need a low-end phone. But just because you need a low-end device doesn't mean you have to make it ugly.
Yeah, exactly.
No, that's a fair point. I mean, because the Wildfire actually looked pretty nice.
Yeah, it was.
You know, for a really entry-level Android phone, really. You know, it looked pretty good. And you're right, this Lumia 7, is it 710?
Looks
pretty horrible, doesn't it?
I mean, one of the things I was thinking with regards to this is that the Lumia 710, bar the faster processor, really doesn't offer anything over the Gen 1 Windows phones, which you can now go and pick up for a lot cheaper than 270.
Yeah. Good point.
Yeah, exactly. Point. Although I think in some ways not many people would necessarily go looking for outlets where they can buy second-hand phones. Most people are going to just rely on their carrier. I just wonder whether or not the Lumia 710 is kind of offered as or aimed at the kind of device that some carriers do, you know, where you just kind of get a free upgrade without any change, any additional charge, almost to the point where they kind of just send it to you. I wondered if it was kind of that.
Here, take it. People don't want them.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But I know, I mean, I know my wife previously, you know, she's not necessarily fussed about a high-end device. So each time her contract comes around, she'll just ring up. She'll get a letter through the post, you know, saying, look, you know, this is the phone we can offer you for free with no change to your contract. Just, you know, send this form back if you want it, kind of thing.
Yeah, I think it will get it. We'll get Windows Phone into the hands of a lot more people, which is a good thing.
Yeah, but so the next device was really the high-end premium device, which, you know, again, it just kind of leaked out everywhere. There wasn't really necessarily a surprise, but it's the Nokia Lumia 800, which is based on the N9 Mego phone chassis. Three colours, black, magenta and cyan. It's built from a single piece of polycarbonate, I think that's the right word. It's got a slot in the top for the SIM card and for the USB slot, so you can't actually open the device. The battery's fixed, which kind of with the battery life of modern smartphones isn't always a good thing. so it's got a 3.7-inch clear black Super AMOLED screen, down from the 3.9-inch of the N9, I guess, for to add the three capacitive buttons. It's got the same 1.4 GHz processor, 16 GB of storage, the 8-megapixel Carl Zeiss Zeiss camera, and does have the gyroscope, looking to retail for about €420. So, and I don't know what you guys think, and I know I was thinking about this today. I know we talk all the time about how these devices that are coming out look kind of the same, but I was wondering today whether or not our impression of new phones as they come out is pretty diluted, in that every week with the sort of people that look out for new devices, whereas somebody upgrading from, say, a feature phone, which is, you know, like an old Nokia, which is pretty bland, seeing this for the first time, it would appear to them as a premium, you know, standout design device.
Well, no. I mean, I know that the Lumia is still basically they're putting Windows Phone in the N9 chassis, but
yeah,
even though it's just a touchscreen slab, it has it's still a very appealing design. I actually like the N9. I like the Lumia 800. Because it's more on the side of minimalism, so it has a minimalistic appeal to it. It's thin. I like its round shape, its round edges, the curves it has, and it seems like the texture on it would feel really nice. I don't know what's up with Nokia going with these candy colors that they're going with. It looks like a bag of Skittles just threw up, but. But in terms of the actual design, the aesthetics of it, I think it looks really nice. I would love to see more of a brushed metal color. Although the cayenne color looks really appealing, but it's too bright for me. So I'd like to see more of more of the subtle, more of the neutral tones come into play. But I actually like the design. I applaud them for the design, for the materials they're using. It's really nice. And even though, yes, it still looks like a slab, there's something about the minimalism in it that actually makes it stand out. So I quite like the design of it.
Yeah. I mean, I really like the curved glass on it, and I think certainly your comments about the colours, but something that we'll come on to a bit in terms of they're really going after a specific age group with these phones. But yeah, I think sorry, John, were you going to say something?
No, I was just going to say I totally agree. Really, it is a nice looking phone, and they've obviously, this is the one that they put a lot of thought into. Whereas the 710 kind of looks like they just threw it together out of bits that they found left over. the 800 actually, you know, it looks like they've obviously seriously put some thought into it with the N9 anyway, and obviously, you know, replicated a popular design into the 800, and it is, yeah, it's a good looking phone.
Yeah, where my disappointment comes in is, I mean, I wasn't expecting a complete new line of phones, and this is really what I was expecting. I was expecting to see the N9 chassis, and they put Windows Phone on it. But I was still hoping to see a bit of differentiation from the existing Windows phones, right? So they made a big deal in the keynote about this is the first real Windows phone, and you know, these are so great, and you know, these are so much better. But when Nokia made the agreement with Microsoft, it was put out there. Microsoft said that Nokia was going to have more leeway than other OEMs, that they were going to have to stick to the specifications as much as other OEMs did, and they were going to be able to do, you know, some different things with Windows Phone that would really differentiate them in terms of not only design but also through experience. And that could be software, that could be hardware. But I was hoping to see some of that actually exposed, when really reality, it's not really adding anything to Windows Phone as it is now.
No, I think yeah, I mean, I think that's certainly, you know, fair point. I think in terms of their differentiation, they've kind of gone down the what they've added in terms of software rather than what they've been able to do with hardware. Although I did see some interviews with some of the Nokia people today, and they were kind of saying that really with Windows Phone Mango, it was still kind of set a bit too much in stone for them to be able to do that kind of unique and customized approach. They were saying their real innovation is going to come in the kind of Windows Phone 8 Apollo timeline. So I think the problem with that is that
we're constantly hearing that line all across the board. Everybody's always saying, "Oh, well, the next one is that's the one that's going to be it." And not just with Windows Phone, not just with Nokia. We're, you know, and kind of tired of hearing that. You know, if it's going to be the next one, then don't talk about it. Yeah, just let it be. And you know, when it comes out, that's when it comes out. But if you talk about it, then you're setting those expectations and you're setting those performance lines for yourself, those goals for yourself. So then just don't expose it.
Yeah, I think in many ways, though, I think like they said when they announced their Windows Phone partnership, they said they were going to bring a phone to market, and I think it was something like half their normal development time. And I think maybe what they mean is that by Apollo time, which is probably, I guess, maybe around September, October next year, maybe a bit earlier, that then they'll have really had a product that they'll have been able to put through a proper design life cycle and really differentiate. But I guess time will tell.
They've done some pretty nice things with some of the software stuff, though, haven't they? I didn't catch too much of it. I'm sure you're going to go into it now, Jace. Yeah. But I thought they did. From what I saw, it looked like there was some pretty nice additions on that side, at least.
Yeah, definitely. I think before we move on to that, I just want to cover one, what I consider quite important hardware element, and that is what the Nokia Lumia 800 doesn't have compared to the N9, and that's neither of the Nokia devices have a front-facing camera, which was a big addition to Mango. And obviously the HTC Titan's got it, and I think the some of the Samsung devices have got it, and while I think a front-facing camera is one of those things that you kind of think you want and maybe then don't really use, I was kind of thinking about this, and that people getting these devices, like I said, it's a high-end device, so you're going to be looking at an 18, 24-month contract. So it's going to be potentially upgradable to Windows Phone 8. You know, by then, especially with, you know, they knew Skype was coming, it just seems like a massive oversight. I kind of really wanted this device, although it's smaller than I would have wanted. I was really interested in it, but that's really kind of not my enthusiasm.
Yeah, I was thinking about this as well myself this afternoon. I was thinking that with front-facing cameras, I don't think I would actually end up using it. But then, like you said before, it's kind of, that's one of the new features. It's something that's going to be well integrated when Skype finally arrives. If and when Skype finally arrives.
Which Microsoft have bought.
Yeah, but it's one of those things. I don't think it would have taken too much to put it in there, and it just would have made it that much extra future-proofed, if you like.
So I don't know if I'm overreacting to that, but it just seemed like a massive oversight.
Yeah, I just want to say this update is taking forever.
Stick with it, man. Stick with it. It will be so worth it.
Is it doing the backup?
No, it's installing updates. Step 7 of 900.
Cool. So it's that. Does seem like a big oversight to me, but then they cut to a live feed from the factory. Obviously people were, they were kind of talking about when these devices were going to be available, and they kind of showed a guy, obviously completely staged, picking up a device and putting it in a box and putting it in a carton and saying, here they go, they're leaving the factory.
They're going now.
And
was that as bad as it sounds? Because that sounds terrible.
Yeah, well, the funny thing was, in the studio, they couldn't actually see them for a while, so they could hear him, and it was just so stuttered, and, I'm sure it wasn't planned that way, but...
I mean, but they were kind of forced to do that, right, because Elop had committed to, you know what, from now on, when we announce a phone, we're going to ship it.
Yeah.
We're done with this, announce and then ship 6 months later. So I think that's really what they were trying to prove. There probably could have been a better way, but you got to give them credit for actually following through with it.
But the phones are pretty much available almost immediately. They've announced it on 30 carriers in 6 European markets. I think in the UK, there's even been an advert on the telly with the actual date of the 16th of November on it. So, and they also announced today on day 2 of Nokia World, they were giving out 25,000 handsets to developers, and there was a lorry waiting outside. So the devices are there. And ready, so they're just.
Wish I'd popped down there because I've got a developer account now. I could have gone and nicked off with a free phone.
Yeah. I think the entry fee to Nokia World was something like €1,500 or €1,800. Yeah. So I think you'd be better off just buying one of them. So I know some of them have got some of the websites the normal suspects have got them up for pre-order about £440.
Wow,
that's quite steep, isn't it? I'll be expecting quite a good week or quite a good few days for that.
Yeah. Although, interestingly enough, something that I've talked about before and tweeted about is that pre-Mango, all the UK mobile carriers went completely quiet on Windows Phone. I think Orange was the only website where you could actually find any information on it, but practically all, without exception, have all announced deals or pre-order registrations for the... For the Nokia Lumia 800, so I don't know quite where that leaves all the other OEMs. So other than the hardware, which I think is, I mean, apart from the 800 being a nice device, I don't think it's kind of what people were hoping for. I think people were hoping for a third device. I know the Ace, the Nokia, people had some. Whether or not they were fakes or not, the Lumia 900 would have been a nice device to have seen with a 4.3-inch screen. Well, again, all rumours, but really where they tried to really differentiate was in their software, which you mentioned, Sheldon. Really, there was kind of four elements to that. There was the Nokia Drive, which is 3D turn-by-turn navigation using the Nokia Maps. It downloads what you need, so you basically plan a journey and then it will download what you need, but it can also download on demand if you happen to go off. There was the Nokia Music service, which is completely subscription free, registration free. It's just on the device, and it's kind of like a equivalent of like a Spotify or something, where there's some pre-defined mixes on the phone and you can listen to them over the internet via streaming, or you can choose to download them. And it will also scan your existing music collection and start offering new artists based on, what it already sees in your collection. So I guess in some ways that's quite a differentiator in that, there's no monthly fee for that. It's all, it's all DRM'd, of course, but...
It's a bit like Last FM before they introduced the subscription model, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, exactly. So I think it's, I mean, it sits along Zune. It doesn't replace Zune. It's like an additional service. But I just thought it was quite interesting that they were going to bundle that with the phones, because none of the other Windows Phone OEMs have done anything similar.
Mm.
Then they also obviously announced Nokia Maps, which will sit alongside Bing Maps. So pretty much the common theme is that they're adding stuff, but they're not taking anything away from Windows Phone. And then there was also Nokia Pulse app, which is actually leaked out. I've got it on my phone. I think John's managed to get it onto his phone.
I'm just setting it up now, actually, while I'm talking to you.
Which is a private social app. So I'll include a link to it in the show notes, assuming that they don't manage to hide it in the meantime. But yeah, it's kind of like a bit like a Foursquare, but for a very limited private social network.
I think the big ones here are definitely Nokia Maps. I know a lot of people love Nokia Maps. Personally, I'm not a big fan of Nokia Maps. I still prefer Google Maps, but I know a lot of people that are huge Nokia fans and were in Symbian, and that's kind of one of the flagship software apps that they loved was Nokia Maps. And then definitely the turn-by-turn navigation. I think, you know, up till now, it's been very difficult. Like I said, last week, you know, Jason and I talked about this, how one of Android's huge advantages is Google Maps and the turn-by-turn navigation built into it, and the flexibility that offers, and the fact that Nokia Drive is going to be built into these devices, I think is finally going to have some type of competitor for or a response to that advantage that Android has enjoyed over the past year and a half.
Yeah, I mean, Windows Phone with Bing includes turn by turn, but it has some bizarre restriction where you actually have to tap the screen to get it to read out the next right. turn. And just, you know, you said, the one thing that Android offers is built-in 3D turn by turn.
Yeah, the Bing experience, I've tried it out, and the turn by turn on Bing is pretty miserable.
Yeah.
When you compare it to anything else, even comparing it to third party options. So that's why I don't even, you know, consider that a competitor. Whereas Nokia Maps Nokia's turn by turn navigation is pretty comparable, it's pretty good. So I think it's pretty huge, you know. You don't have to drop, you know, some serious coin on a third party app to get that done on Nokia phone now.
I think they mentioned it got something like 70,000 points of interest and whatnot. So it's a real, you know, definitely a value add, something that none of the other OEMs have got. So just as I was saying, you know, although the hardware didn't necessarily knock anyone over in terms of surprise or, you know, how amazing they were, I think this is where Nokia's really going to differentiate itself. It's going to be through its software. It's going to be through the extra features that it adds to the phone through software, if not necessarily through hardware. And I think that's, you know, that's really where they're going to try and drive appeal.
Yeah. Do you think the reason that they didn't do any more handsets from a hardware point of view is because obviously the limitations, you know, we touched on it, but the limitations with Windows Phone, you know, single core processors, that kind of stuff, and you know, the fact is that they're kind of maybe chomping at the bit to do some stuff, but figure it's going to change pretty quickly, that those new specs are going to come, what is it, early next year or whatever, and then maybe we'll see kind of a whole slew of devices off the back of that maybe there will be added, maybe they're in the works at the moment that they're going to, you know, going to differentiate a little bit more with.
Yeah, I think, I mean, personally, my opinion is that I just don't think they had the time. I mean, literally, they've had 6 months or so to get this done. And I think where they could have differentiated was to add things in that the platform doesn't support yet. I think it would have been interesting to see a near-field communication chip in there. It might have been interesting to see an LTE chip in there. But they're things that Windows Phone don't support.
So, and potentially might not necessarily support until Windows Phone 8. So, I think it was, you know, when they, I read today, Mary Jo was posted saying that she spoke to them and they said, you know, they really agonized over missing out the front facing camera. I failed to see why that was an issue if the N9 had it. You know, why wasn't the circuitry in place kind of thing? But, but yeah, I mean, in terms of the process of, I know there's been a lot of talk lately about a lot of the reviews, albeit I, from what I've read of them being relatively biased against Windows Phone, is that, you know, it doesn't have a dual core processor. But it's funny, but I was talking to Gary from the Digital Lifestyle when I was down with him in London. And we were both agreed, you know, Windows Phone doesn't need dual core. It's the interface, the OS is silky smooth. You know, it doesn't need that extra horsepower.
Yeah. Again, it just comes down to, I guess, the perception, doesn't it? And the way things are moving. You know, it may or may not be right, but that's just kind of what people are expecting. I just hope it doesn't kind of hold it back.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Well, see, I want my Gorilla Glass dual core phone, and I'm not happy if it hasn't got.
Yeah. So one of the things that I tweeted on the morning of Nokia World, I kind of put it out there that for me, the Nokia World was.
Hey Jace?
Yep.
Still updating.
I'll keep talking then. So I put a tweet out there saying that for me the day Nokia World was going to be far less about the phones and far more important in terms of what Nokia bring to Windows Phone and what Nokia means to Windows Phone, because their tagline is the amazing every day. And as we've already talked about, they've added some additional software, which albeit isn't necessarily groundbreaking, it's something that you wouldn't get if you bought a HTC device. But for me, what Nokia offers is the fact that Nokia and Windows Phone need each other. Nokia have bet everything on Windows Phone. If it doesn't work, they're going to I think they'll just go under. So what Nokia are doing is they're doing what Microsoft and its other OEMs have failed to do for the last 12 months, is really put the advertising, setting up kiosks in stores, getting hardware into stores, which, you know, you can still walk into most mobile phone outlets and they won't have a Windows phone that you can play with. And they've really built up this whole and announced this whole marketing campaign built around live tiles. I think they've taken over the Channel 5 website in the UK. And also I think Channel 5 was running pretty much back-to-back adverts yesterday. And I think I tweeted today that, you know, Windows Phone has seen in the last 24 hours more advertising than it's probably seen in the last 12 months. I mean, there's all the teaser adverts. And so I think Nokia will bring out more devices. And I think maybe there'll be some more devices that build and improve on the Nokia Lumia 800, but for me it's just going to be about the advertising push and the training of staff, and you know, the I'm sure some payouts to staff members for each device they sell and things like that. So I don't know if you guys agree that it's more about what Nokia can push behind Windows Phone as opposed to the devices.
Yeah, I do. I mean, you've got to applaud them for the way they've gone about the advertising campaign. I mean, as soon as the phones were announced at Nokia World, kind of yesterday morning, the ad campaign just kicked in straight away, didn't it? Like you said, you know, the Channel 5 website completely overrun with it. If you go to channel5.com, it's just, you know, Nokia and Windows Phone advertising all over it. I think I read that they pretty much bought out all the advertising space on Channel 5 yesterday as well. They got the gadget show to review the Lumia 800, I think, and released the day yesterday. Did I also see somewhere that they were going to have people dressed up in big live tiles running around somewhere? Or did I make that up?
No, they are. Yeah, they're going to have people running around dressed up as live tiles. They're going to set up like a... the words escape me, but they're going to set up kiosks next to bus shelters and all sorts. You know, they're just, Windows Phone is going to be in your face, which it has not been for the last 12 months.
You know, these hobos for getting their Windows Phone on.
Yeah, jacuzzi, that was it. They're setting up jacuzzis next to bus stops and all sorts.
Jacuzzis?
Yeah.
Like I say, it's their marketing their marketing slogan is kind of making every day amazing.
Jacuzzi's next to the bus stop.
Yeah, and they are the other big thing that they said at Nokia World is that their target audience is 25-year-olds. That's what they're marketing to.
No.
So
too old.
It's me turning 40 tomorrow. I guess I'm not there. I'm not their target audience. But if anybody wants to get me a Lumia 800 for my birthday, I will gladly accept it and review it for the Digital Lifestyle.
Hey, you're only what 49 minutes away from becoming 40.
Yeah,
41 minutes away. Yeah.
So if we recorded a little bit later, we could have a live hap singing a happy birthday to you.
So I don't know what you guys kind of really took from Nokia World. You know, I've done most of the talking.
No, I mean, I agree with most of what you said anyway. So, I mean, I was a bit disappointed with the devices, but then it was nothing really new because, you know, that's all the leaks were that, you know, that's what we expected to see. Would have been nice to see something a little bit better, like maybe a Lumia 900 or something like that, you know. But, I do agree, you know, the ad campaign is pretty good. And as long as they keep up the momentum of that advertising campaign, it can only be good for Windows Phone.
Yeah, I think it's good. I mean, I think it's great to see, you know, a manufacturer like squarely behind it, you know, as opposed to, you know, almost testing the water with it, which is kind of how I feel most of the other ones are kind of approaching it. And it's just great to see that they're actually giving it some real momentum. So, and I think it ties in nicely with the Mango release. You know, it is obviously head and shoulders above the Windows experience prior to Mango. So I think now's the time to really kind of raise it in people's consciousness. So, all the tweaks they've done on a software point of view is great. I think it's pretty exciting. I mean, it is a little underwhelming if we're really honest about it, but so was the 4S. You know, I think a lot of these things, you just got to give it a bit of time and just see kind of which elements really kind of resonate with people, you know. And so I think overall, I think it's a pretty positive step. And now they're out there, get them into people's hands, and hopefully with that kind of promotion behind it, it should kind of really bring it up in terms of people's consciousness, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, as you say, you hit it, hit the nail on the head. You know, the other OEMs are selling so many Android devices, you know, by the bucket load, that why would they bother spending money on advertising a platform that so far has really failed to sell in any great numbers? But like I say, Nokia needs this. They can't afford for it not to work.
Are they saying that HTC have just revved up their ad campaigns for Windows Phone, haven't they, recently?
Yeah, I mean, they've got some big, especially around the Titan, some big displays in stores.
And TV yeah, advertising as well, because they've released a new wave of ad campaigns, haven't they, on the TV for the Radar and the Titan, I think.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, I mean, Microsoft did announce that Samsung and HTC had agreed to put some marketing dollars behind it. But yeah, I think again though, that for us, yes, the device is underwhelming, but I think someone looking at this with their current Nokia feature phone in their hand, I think it is really striking. And I think from that perspective, it is enough to tempt people.
Yeah.
It certainly created a bit of a buzz, didn't it? I mean, it was, you know, it was all over the front of the BBC website, which is, you know, again, it's gonna get looked at, isn't it? So it can only be a good thing.
Yeah. So the last thing I have, while Jose still updates his phone,
updating.
there was a really good post on the Digital Lifestyle by Derek Larkin, who's a Windows Phone developer, about his first day at Nokia World. And unfortunately, he tweeted today saying he couldn't make the second day due to work commitments, and it was the day they handed out the free phone.
Oh.
So he must be pretty gutted with that. But also, I just wanted to mention as well, as I briefly mentioned before, that I went down to London on Tuesday night to meet up with Gary from the Digital Lifestyle. I went to one of the Windows Phone user groups. and it was really nice. Number one, to be sat in a room where you actually see people with Windows phones, and the other thing is just the enthusiasm. You know, they had people standing up and presenting their apps. You know, just real enthusiasm in the room for developing for the platform, and the common theme was people saying how easy it is, how good the tools are, and they were showing off some really good demos of augmented reality applications, which is obviously now possible with Mango. Now you can pick up the camera stream. So it was really, really good to be sat in a room, you know, with people and seeing the real momentum there is behind it, albeit in small numbers, but hopefully that can grow. But my only disappointment was that there was supposed to be a special guest presenter. Joe Belfiore was supposed to be there, but unfortunately his plane got delayed and he wasn't there. So I would have, it would have been an honor for me to shake his hand. But there you go. But of course I would have also had to mention the 1 month delay by T-Mobile on the Mango update, but maybe that's why he didn't come. Maybe he heard.
He knew you were going to be there and he didn't want to get on the list.
So if ever he listened to this, then it would be a pleasure to have him on the show. For me, anyway, not for you guys.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
It reminds me, so I was listening to this week's Digital Lifestyle show, Andrew's Back, and just so you know, Jace, Ian did warn Andrew about your list, so.
Yeah,
I was listening to that as well. Apparently they think that you've had something to do with Gary going missing.
Yeah.
Well, he was in there. He was in the room with an iPhone, and I kept telling him to put it away. Yeah, I think Ian thought he'd actually managed to get off my list because he'd swapped from iPhone to Windows Phone. But I told him it until he actually sold his iPhone. He was definitely staying on the list.
Oh, tough guy.
Absolutely. No, the more people I could convert, but actually that does raise a question. Actually, do you think I personally think that Windows Phone's target market is not converting people, that it's the growing smartphone market.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess any sale's a good sale for them, really. But like you say, you know, they could well be targeting that at people that are just moving into the smartphone market. I don't know whether they still exist, do they? Is there anyone that's not using a smartphone these days?
I think it's still a massive growing market, but I just think it's really difficult. You know, I mean, there are people, you know, Tom Warren's done it, and obviously Ian started using Windows Phone and liking the experience. But I think for your normal kind of consumer, for want of a better word, normal, that when you choose an ecosystem, if you've got an iPhone or you've got an Android, you've invested so much into it in applications. And that you are used, you know, everyone knows how to use an iPhone. You know, it's. I would imagine it's quite a shift for people to want to change.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Yes, it's interesting, isn't it? Because I love the Windows Phone experience. I absolutely love it, and what it brings is completely unique to that experience. You know, I don't get the same experience that I would with an iPhone or with an Android phone, but. Equally, if it was my only device, I'm not entirely sure that I could cut across to Windows Phone if I had to pick just one, just because, you know, at the moment, Android and iOS have just got every possible angle covered, and anything that I need to do on either of those platforms, I'm pretty confident I can do, and I'm not so confident on Windows Phone, and I don't know whether that's just because I'm used to that app-centric world. So like you say, Jace, whether people that or maybe moving up from feature phones, you know, completely with a kind of a white piece of paper, won't be missing that kind of approach. So maybe we'll jump on board with it more easily, or whether it just needs to fill out a little bit, because obviously it can be app centric as well to some degree. And so I don't know. I think it's interesting.
Still updating, Jose.
It says it's step 8 of 9, restarting your phone. So I think it's finally about to wrap up.
Excellent. Hey,
yeah.
I see you've added a final story.
Yeah. So kind of breaking news. So right before we began the show, news came out that apparently CEO Meg Whitman, new CEO of HP, made the decision in the announcement that HP will in fact be keeping the PSG group, the Personal Systems Group, which includes its PC business. So it's not going to be sold or spun off. It's still going to be greatly integrated into HP, a core part of HP, which makes sense. You know, the previous CEO, Leo Pothaker, you know, he was very much a server guy, a business guy, enterprise guy. So he had his own agenda, but it looks like Meg Whitman is pretty much reverting that decision. But the news, I guess, that's relevant to the mobile space is when it comes to tablets, it looks like Windows 8 is, of course, definitely in their pipeline of devices. In fact, they said that they're doing some really great things with Microsoft in terms of developing Windows 8 tablets. But when it comes to WebOS, they are still going to be making a decision as to, you know, I guess the future of WebOS, whether or not HP is going to keep it. If they do, to what extent are they going to continue to develop new hardware for it? So at this point, it sounds like WebOS is very much still fair game. Who knows? Maybe the touchpad doesn't end up being the final WebOS device that we see, and maybe it gets a reprieve and actually gets a real chance. Then again, maybe it just gets swallowed up into HP's portfolio, and you know, we just see tidbits of it peek its head in future HP technologies, but we'll see. At this point, there's still going to be a decision made, so there is hope for you touchpad owners yet.
Yeah, there's just every time, every week, you know, HP just takes U-turns.
They're worse than our government.
Almost as bad as Netflix.
Yes.
I was actually chatting to a guy yesterday who'd managed to get one of the touchpads in the file sale, and he says he's, you know, really enjoying it. You know, he says, yeah, you know, really enjoying the experience, and you know, albeit the apps aren't there, but just for using it for email and, you know, kind of general social and web browsing and stuff, he says it's brilliant.
Yeah, I'm really pleased. I mean, I've got mine. I mean, they're still updating it. You know, there was an over the air update that came out, I don't know, a week or so ago, that means you can connect it with Bluetooth to any phone, not just a WebOS phone now, and take calls on it. So if your phone's upstairs charging, and a call comes in, it will just immediately push it down to your touchpad, which is pretty cool. And so they're still releasing updates for it. So there's obviously people still working on it, and there's some good apps, you know, it kind of does everything that you need to do. So yeah, it's a really good device. I hope there's some life in it yet.
Yeah, it's looking a lot more promising anyway.
Do you guys hear that?
Is it
that's
there?
That's me typing on Mango right now.
Hey.
Looking up my Twitter.
One of the interesting things to do is to pin your Mi tile, and also any contacts that you've got pinned to the home screen. If they, like I said, they did it in the Nokia announcement. It was, if someone sends you an email, it will actually show you that you've got a new email from them, or if they've been tagged in a photo, or and also, obviously, the follow on from that is that the live tiles can now be double sided, so they kind of flip over.
So I pinned my Mi tile.
Yeah. So if you go into people and the top one is, and then just pin that.
How do I pin it though?
I haven't got my phone in front of me. Johnny, you got yours? But it's, if you open it, if you actually tap your Mi tile, there should be down the bottom a pin.
Got it. Yeah.
And so if you link up to Twitter, say for example, and somebody sends a tweet and mentions you, it'll actually come up that you've been mentioned.
Okay.
That is like pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah. For example, I have my wife's contact, people, entry tab on my home screen. And so I can see, you know, instantly if I've got a missed call from her, or if I've got a text message from her, or, you know, the latest book she's finished reading on her Kindle. So it's really nice. And then you've also, within the search, within Bing search, you've now got all the voice stuff and local scout, and the being able to do the Shazam-style music listening. So there's lots of in there to explore and discover. So hopefully next week we can...
Yeah, we'll get your thoughts on it.
Your thoughts. Mm. Also, sorry, I just wanted to add. Sorry, I meant to say before we meandered off, but you mentioned about the HP tablet strategy. I think Dell announced a tablet that's coming out on November the 2nd, which is going to be Windows 7 based, but it seemed to be pretty much to the specs that minimum specs in terms of being able to run two Metro apps side by side and everything. I think 1378 resolution by something. So I think clearly a device that they're maybe going to be pitch. And the other thing I wanted to briefly mention was I was listening to Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley, and she mentioned something that is purely just rumour and speculation, but that Microsoft might offer what they would class beta ARM tablets at a discounted price to kind of get the numbers out there ahead of the launch. Because, you know, I kind of wondered this myself, how are they going to get beta feedback when nobody's got these devices? So I thought that would be a really interesting approach, you know, sell it at a discounted price. Maybe you need to pay to buy Windows 8 when it finally comes out, but you'd actually get the hardware at an extremely discounted price. And that way they would get feedback and pick up any issues.
Interesting approach, yeah. See if anything comes of that.
Mm. Yeah. I wouldn't reiterate it was just a rumor, but I thought that would be I mean, if you could imagine as well it about getting the numbers out there, it would be a really clever ploy and a way to get feedback at the same time, like I say.
Hmm.
Interesting. Yeah, that could be something to be to take a look at, but I don't know how they'd manage it. That's all. I don't know quite. I guess they just put it out there and just let it take hold.
Yeah, I mean, I could see it working. You know, if Dell or HP started selling these things, under the fact of that the hardware is final hardware, that it's not, you know, when the proper Windows 8 devices come out, they're not going to be different in the hardware aspect. And it's just a case of upgrading them to the final release. But it would, you know, like I said, I thought it would be a good way to get feedback and increase market share.
Yeah.
Cool, so I think we will knock it out. Yeah. And I'm 30 minutes away from being old.
No, man, just a bit, just wiser, surely.
Yeah. I think I midlife crisis, I might get myself an iPhone.
Man, you need to lie down, there's something clearly not right.
Yeah, exactly. I think Jose just needs to send me some of his devices so I can road test them.
Sure, just give me an address.
Cool, guys. Anyone got anything else?
I think that about covers it.
Yeah,
you're
done.
So, don't forget, you can reach us at mobile@thedigitallifestyle.com. You can also follow us on Twitter. The main feed is @TDOMobile. That's probably the quickest way to find out that the latest show has been posted. You can follow us individually at Jose R. Ortiz.
I'm at John Dickinson.
I'm at Database Jace.
And I'm at Sheldon W.
And Ian is at... Ian's at IS Dixon. So I think that about does it. Hopefully, unfortunately, there's no event scheduled for next week, so next week's probably going to be a boring show. But please tune in anyways.
We'll have to try and start locking down at a regular time so we can start doing a live stream and get people in the chat. Oh, I tell you what, we've forgotten again.
Oh, DVB link.
Ian would never forgive us.
Well remembered.
I don't know what you guys thought, but yeah, Ian's given us a license of DVB link connected edition. I think that's the right word for it. And I thought no one ever writes into the show, so I thought we'd just make it really simple. I don't know what you guys thought, and just do a random draw from anyone that writes into the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, sounds good.
We'll pick, if everyone writes into the show, we'll pick the most interesting write in.
And if you can see this has been well thought out, yeah, and absolutely. We're just hastily thrown on.
If anyone wants to send me a Lumia 800, it might increase your chances of winning. So yeah, what do you guys think? Just get people to contact the show and we'll draw from the best.
Sounds good.
Yeah, sounds a good plan.
Sounds good. All right, so you can write us at mobile@thedigitallifestyle.com, and you can get yourself a copy of DBB Link. What was it, Connected?
I think it's Connected.
What edition is it? Connected? Yeah. All right, so I think that does it for this week, though, guys. So I guess I'll talk to you next week, huh?
Yep, speak to you later.
Yep, cool, guys.
Happy birthday, Jake. Have a good day.
Yeah, happy birthday. Cheers, guys. Happy birthday.